You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, thanks for hitting play. Welcome to The Come Up. My name is Matt, and on this episode, a very special conversation with my dear friend, Michaela Diamond. As of May 2nd, 2023, Michaela is now a Tony Award-nominated actress for her performance in the Broadway revival of Parade. And I think what makes this whole thing so exciting for me is that I know and love Michaela personally. And to witness a friend being recognized for their gifts, it's really just indescribable. Back in March, when things were a little less crazy, Michaela came over, we filmed some self-tapes together, and then we sat down on my couch and just talked. This is that conversation. We covered everything from validation and vocal breaks to partnership and pasta. What you might not know is that during the pandemic, Michaela went to and graduated from culinary school. So in addition to being transcendent on stage, she's truly a beast in the kitchen. This is all to say, I love her. And I'm so grateful that this podcast gave us an excuse to capture this special moment in her life. I hope this conversation brings you as much joy as it brought me. So without further ado, here is Michaela Diamond. I wanted to beatbox for a while.
I'm glad we didn't go that route, honey.
In high school, I did a little bit.
I'm sure you
acapella.
Did. Acapella. In the suburbs of Chicago.
Yeah, you had to like, if you were in, you know, but I never did, that was the one thing I was like really upset about was I didn't get to do college acapella.
Yeah, you missed that one. It's funny how many people go to like Yale and end up like taking an entire year around the world to do acapella. I mean, it is a loved sport.
Yes, sport is a good word for it. Yeah. Because I was in high school and I was watching like, oh my God, I just talked to Grace McLean and she was in, I didn't know, but she was in the Enharmonics, which is like
huge.
The acapella group from NYU. Mm-hmm. That was like iconic to me. Mm-hmm. Shayna Taub, like it was like they were like giving like wild ass cool arrangements,
legends,
and I didn't get that. They didn't have, and I don't know why I didn't like when I was applying to schools. It wasn't like a thing. Cause it was like, oh, BFA.
Did Boca just not have it?
No.
Yeah.
We're too busy.
I would have been bad in an acapella group.
Why?
You're
like my voice is too
different. No, I like have a break.
So do I.
We were in, Ben and I were doing an interview the other day and somebody was like, what would you tell your younger self? And I go, that it's okay to have a break.
In your voice?
Yeah. Ben goes, in your voice? And I was like, correct.
No, but that's a thing. Like,
because for so many years I spent like trying to figure out how I can like smooth it out, how I can sing defying fucking gravity and like not float up into my fucking mix. And now I'm like, no, Parade, you like, it's beautiful. I love having a break.
You like,
well, I like it now.
Yeah. And I mean, I always felt like my falsetto was so weak. And so it was like, you got to iron out your break. You want to go seamlessly from your chest into your head, which is like, in theory, yes. But then, honestly, it's only in the last few years that I've been like, no, I can just like sing something in my head voice and just like choose, like you know who really, Ellery Ward is the one that I feel like has like opened up my mind to that, where she was like, no, I'm just going to embrace, you know, she does the acoustic Sondheim.
Yeah.
She embraced the fact that her voice, like she leaned into the fact that
she's
her voice.
She's like yodely in that way. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, that's just be like, oh yeah, this is the way my voice is.
Totally. I like it. It just gives different colors.
And I feel like, I was always used to say like the people whose voices that we like know and recognize, someone like Patti LuPone or like Bernadette Peters, like even Carole, like, they sound like them. They don't sound like everyone.
Audra.
Right. They don't sound like everyone else. Mm-hmm. Which again, like, I mean, you didn't have to deal with this, but in college, I felt like it was a lot of that.
Yeah,
a lot
completely of like, changed when Wicked happened. I just feel like that was kind of the game changing moment when all of a sudden women wanted their voices to sound pingy and exactly the same.
And you were in high school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want to sing like Kelly, not O'Hara. Idina Menzel or Stephanie.
Huh.
Yeah, I wanted Kelly O'Hara's voice, which is not belty.
No, no. I mean, stunning.
Resonant.
Oh my gosh.
For sure.
That tracks.
Yeah.
Because that's like kind of, I mean, you don't sound like her, but you do like have.
Thank you. I do an opera. We did one.
We did.
We did an opera.
Do an opera. Was it an opera?
Is that like, what we're starting with?
Yeah, that's how it started.
We did an opera a few months ago at the Kennedy Center.
Yeah. You hear that? We were at the Kennedy Center.
Doing Leonard Bernstein's Mass.
The weirdest shit I've ever done in my entire life.
It was fucking chaos.
The lowest of the low stakes.
I forgot my lyrics every night on stage to the point where I had to write them in the Bible. In a Bible. It was so bad. And it was something like, God said, take charge of my zoo. I made these creatures for you. And then one night I just said,
heaven and sea for you. And we had to repeat after you. And so we.
Like, God said, take charge of my zoo.
God said, take charge of my zoo.
Like that, and back so, and forth. So then when I had no words, everyone said,
oh my God.
It was legendary. I did kind of cry after a little, but then you were like, let's get a drink.
Well, and also, fine. Just again, like the stakes were so low, but I will say that was, it was so
humiliating.
Yeah, but also important for me to see you in that way. Cause there's no, like.
I forget my lyrics.
You did it in Cher. That was a thing.
I did. It was a thing. I wouldn't say it was a thing, but there was a week of shows where, right. And this is actually so interesting, but after a certain amount of time when you're in a show, the material changes from your short-term memory to your long-term memory.
Right.
So when you're singing a song, like all of us forget lyrics all the time and you like go into your short-term memory real quick and you pull it out and then you're fine. But
at a certain point it becomes muscle memory.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I was like in month 7 or something and I was like trying to find it quickly and it was like not there. And so I like went, I had to go to my long-term memory and I like couldn't find it. Obviously this was not the thoughts I was having in the moment. I was just like in a white room freaking out during Beat Goes On and I had no one to help me. And I just like, couldn't remember the monologue, completely blacked out, and then got off stage and like there was a choice of like you can let this moment give you anxiety for the next week because you're afraid you're gonna forget it the whole time, or you can just move on and like not let your ego freak out. And I chose the first one. And so for the whole week I was in panic mode.
Right, as you get to that point in the show.
I would always freak out and I would always forget the words. And then, so that kind of triggered a response in me that every time I forget the words now, I just have to think like, just make a choice and you can just decide it's okay and that you're not a failure of a person.
Yep.
And I remember at City Center, I forgot the words to Do It Alone.
Oh, right, you told me this.
And I sang like the first verse and then I had to get back on or in the second or something like that. And I got off stage and I was like, am I going to let this fucking define the rest of my week? And I was like, no. And so I was like, oh, I had a growing moment here. You know what I mean? Like you just have to decide like It's gone. Honestly, like why are we so fucking hard on ourselves?
Well, I feel like, and I don't know, I feel like this is across the board though, but like, you know, when all of a sudden you're on a, I don't want to say quote unquote, but really like quote unquote Broadway stage, it feels as if the stakes are higher.
Yeah.
Because maybe they are, like, I don't know that they are. Like, it's just that, like, that's sort of imposed based on.
I don't know. I've thought about this for so long and I've always said that, like nothing has changed since high school.
Do you really feel that way?
Kind of. I mean, I did go to LaGuardia. So I went to a theater school and we did really big productions. So for my life,
And you were in New York.
It's a little different. I was in New York.
It wasn't like
you were
in some random city. Like you were doing shows in New York.
Yeah. But there's just like, the great things are the same. Like, I love the people. We love hanging out. There's fun drama to talk about. You, like, try and go to the hallway when your crush is there. Like, it's all...
There's mold in the dressing rooms.
That's right. There's, right. It's, like, dust everywhere. You're in a basement. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, it's all...
Yeah.
And then, you know, also, I just feel like the stakes are the same in my body. Like, I am just as scared. I was just as scared doing... like Rising Stars, which is LaGuardia's talent show, as going to sing at some Broadway event. Like, in my body, I feel the same amount of nerves.
Even when, like, Cher happened, it was the first, yeah. like, the first previews and opening night, it was like...
Yeah, I mean, probably, like, a little bit more, yeah. like, oh, wow, my idols are here.
Right, right.
But, like, in my body, it felt the same. Like, I loved it just as much, and I was scared just as much,
right.
and I couldn't wait. You
Are
know?
You still having that idols thing, or has that barrier, like, disintegrated and now you're like, oh, I'm a part of it all? Or do you still feel like when there are people, like when people come backstage or people that you know, people there or whatever it is, or like working with Jason, like, it's just like, are you still like, oh my God, this is,
of course,
there's like still a little teenager inside that's like, oh,
there's
my God.
So much of my young self that comes out all the time, and I love it. I don't take those moments for granted,
yeah,
because I think that they, like, are, they make me a little bit more grounded. But even my dresser, Bonnie, who dressed me for Cher too, I got to keep her.
That's nice.
She came backstage during previews and she was like, my friends are in the house today. And they told me they're sitting right next to Jason Robert Brown. And I looked at her and I was like, JRB is in the audience? And for like 3 full seconds, I forgot that I ever worked with Jason Robert Brown.
Right.
I was just like, oh my God, JRB is in the audience. And I really do, I was telling my stage manager the other day, there's Jason Robert Brown, there's Jason, and there's JRB. And all those people are very different in my head, which is so funny. But yeah, I have those moments all the time. Like, Donna Murphy came to see City Center and I was like, I cannot tell you how much I love you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's an equal, the fangirl moments are equal. And there's nothing like your idol, like, liking your work.
Yeah.
Kelly coming to see the show and saying, like, you are what I've always tried to be. I'm like, Kelly fucking O'Hara.
How do you process that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, are you at a point now where you're able to receive it? But, like,
yeah, I think I do. But it's just with, like, knowing there's so much gratitude because I have put so much of Kelly in my performance. And I know that.
Right.
Like, part of this role is when I played Nellie Forbush when I was 15. Like, that is part, you know, we're just an accumulation of all the roles we've kind of played.
Yeah.
Which is why I feel like this is just the perfect moment to play this role. I wouldn't have been able to play it 3 years ago.
Definitely not.
But yeah, those moments are just crazy. But in the best way. It's
right.
Like, oh my God, thank you. Like, you know, it's such a mutual moment of gratitude.
Yeah, and respect.
Respect.
I may be projecting this onto you. But from what I'm hearing you say, and from what I know of you, like, how do I want to phrase this? It's not as if hearing from people like that, or even just like random people that come and see the show and are moved by your work, it doesn't feel like you need that. You don't need the affirmation, you don't need the validation, because you've reached a point, and again, I'm totally projecting this, that you've reached a point within yourself and your confidence in your own ability that is, like, it feels like whipped cream on the cake. It's not necessarily the eggs and the flour and the sugar.
Yeah.
Like, you've done enough of that work, which, again, I don't know if that's true, but it seems like, as someone who knows you, that, like, you have enough of that within yourself that, of course, it's fun and it's exciting and it's nice when people tell you nice things, but it's not like if you didn't hear those things that you wouldn't be okay.
Yeah. Well, first, I love a food metaphor, but two, I know you did that for me. Thank you. But two, I think I really enjoy the validation and affirmation from my inner circle more than the people. I mean, again, yeah, whipped cream. I love it. I love when people come up to me on the street. It fills me with so much joy, right. But it is whipped cream. I really care, like if we're being specific about this moment in my life.
Yeah, right.
I really care about validation from Ben, Michael, and my partner. That's kind of what I need.
Yep.
Granted, like Michael has left now because we've already opened. Yep. So, but you know, I've always been big on coaching everything, and
yeah, you are big on that.
Yeah, I really like help, and I had my acting teacher come during previews and just like make sure. But those are the people I really need kind of words from.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like when my acting teacher came, she was like, I have no notes for act two, but we need to work on act one. Like there were some moments
but
in act one that she found, and
you.
I was like, yes, thank you.
Right, yeah.
It's like the equal parts. Here is some things you can think about, and also you're doing great work.
Yeah, you like doing the work.
I really do. It's kind of the foundation of why I love it, I think. It just comes from the theater company I did when I was little, Kids Theater. I fucking loved them, and I loved doing the homework we had for shows where you had to like write a million pages of backstory. I mean, I hated it at the time, but of course, like you pick what worked for you and you know, the character workbooks and tactics and objectives, and it is still kind of the foundation of how I work today.
And because you didn't go to college.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You're kind of getting that education through
my coaches.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And like figuring out how I want to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you want to do it?
God, still figuring out. But I like that I can never answer that question.
Yeah.
Right. It'll always move.
Changing.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah. I mean, God, I love doing this show so
you
much.
Do.
Yeah.
Like it's fun. Like it's fun for you.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're
so
eating
meaty.
It. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
I fucking love it.
Yeah.
And Michael is fucking genius and really gives, he never gives like, even though I've begged him at times, he does not give me a line reading. Mm. And so he gives you kind of scenarios and ideas to think about, which make the long run feel exciting because you can just play
in it
inside of a scenario. Mm. There's so many ways you can go.
Is it changing every day?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Ben and I play. Like sometimes the jail scenes are fucking nasty, and other times I'm not looking, I can't look at him, and other times I'm really trying to be nice, and then I have the moment off stage that you maybe don't see that I come, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
right.
Just like, it kind of is different all the time, yeah. But that's why I love it. That's why I'm grateful for Michael for not giving us like these hard lines, these hard boundaries,
yeah.
So that we can just play inside of the world he created for us.
Contrast from Cher Show.
Oh my God. I was thinking about this the other day. It's so crazy. I feel like I learned two very important things during Cher. One is that this is literal, but Cher herself, really changed her mind about things all the time. Her stories changed. Mm. She would tell Rick Ellis, the writer, something and then like be like, that's not what I said. And like he would have a recording of it. Like, I mean, look, I'm not on I'm not on Cher anymore, so I can say whatever.
Right. Yeah, no, but that's
but it's like it was a real thing. Like there was just this constant back and forth of what her version of the story was.
Yeah.
And the big lesson from that was like Cher is not crazy. We are all like that.
Right.
She's just famous and has had to deal with it on a crazy level.
Yes.
But like we all have our own versions
of our histories.
What our fucking lives were and are. And that is just a fact we have to live with.
Mm.
And the second thing I learned from that show, which is more central to who I am now, was that I just don't want to have my body be a priority in my brain space and how I discipline it. And so
because it was
during Cher very much was.
Yeah, right.
And I don't regret doing that because it taught me the lesson,
right?
And I probably would have had to learn that as a woman in this fucking world at some point. So I'm glad I could get it out of the way at 19. But so those two things were pretty instrumental in how I came into this process and how I'm exploring the character. It's just like, it's just so different. Like the priorities are so different.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful the priority can be the art and the work and not the noise,
the body,
or anything. Yeah. It's just so relieving.
Yeah.
And can be about Ben, you know, it can be about, the, you know, like classic, but like in every scene, the other person's more important. And that is like how we go through the show. It's like, how can I, who am I around Ben? Who am I around the public? And it's always about them, you know?
Yeah, right.
So I don't know. In general, it's just a different, I'm just a completely different person now.
Definitely.
Because of those two big kind of changes in my life.
Did the body stuff lead to the food thing? Or were you always like a foodie?
I think it subconsciously led to the food thing.
Okay.
You mean my culinary stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have always loved food.
Okay.
I have not always loved cooking though. And then when the pandemic hit, I started cooking like everyone else, but I was just like really in love with it and was frustrated that so much of my brain space was going to regrets about food or feeling guilty about food or what I was making or can I eat the full thing, whatever, like constant, you know, the thoughts.
The noise.
The noise. Yeah. And I didn't want the noise anymore. And so I felt the only way to get rid of the noise was to like actually eat and not have fear of food anymore. And so I think I knew that going to culinary school, subconsciously I knew this, would put me in front of all of the food that
you
I was afraid of. And it worked. I mean, it fucking worked.
Yeah, right.
And I am so thankful. It was a really hard 9 months. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
Yeah. It was like coming up against all this shit every day.
Right.
And having to work through it. And then, you know, at a certain point for me, it was like it had to be a choice of like, I deserve to like love eating every single day. And the percent of like how much I think about food went from like probably 80% of my brain space to like 10.
Whoa.
It was crazy.
But that's interesting because I feel like you still think about food a lot.
I think, how much I love it.
But it's not.
Yeah, yeah. And cooking and meals
right.
like totally. But it's just not fear-based or regret-based or guilt-based what can I eat tomorrow if I ate today? Like none of that. No. Or calorie count. Like none of
none
it.
Of
it's
it.
Just it's such a fucking waste
it's
of
like
my time.
It's like a respect for food.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm finally at the point now where I don't need everyone to think about it the same way I do, which was a big part of the journey.
That's
interesting. There was a while where I was like, everyone must go on this journey with like everyone needs to not feel the guilt. Everyone needs it's like, God, everyone's just going through their own shit.
Yeah, right.
And I can really only be in charge of my own thoughts. But I have to say I've lost a friendship because I didn't want to be around someone who thought about it really differently from me.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, I don't know who is right or who is wrong or what version of the story she's telling, whatever. But I made the choice to just be like, God, I don't want to be around someone who disciplines their body that way.
Right.
And whether I can do that, because we can be friends with people who are very different from ourselves. But it's something I acknowledge that I'm like, God, I really struggled with that for a second.
That's really powerful. That's like really wild. And what a crazy, I was thinking like, I feel like it's a lot like in relationships that happens too.
All the
time. Where it's like.
It's totally.
Yes. Because all of a sudden you're with somebody and my experience was I was dating Sam and I had this partner and all of a sudden all the like shit came up and it wasn't about him. Even though. It feels like in my like the front of my brain, I have no idea if this is actually the science, but like it felt like in the front of my brain, it was all about him. But in the back of my brain, it was like, no, honey, like this is your shit that you need to face at some point. Mm. And either you're going to face it now and work through it with this person who actually, and I'm lucky enough that like wanted to work through it with me and was willing to like be patient and hold space.
Yeah.
Or I could say, peace out. I'm done. And I'll, like you said, at some point you are going to have to deal with this thing.
Well, to me, it was like this game changing sentence that kind of changed the way I saw everything was, I think like myself. I am thinking like myself, meaning, and this was, you know, it is the cause of many relationships endings,
yeah.
I think, is that all I wanted was for my ex to think like me. Why wouldn't you do it the way I am doing it? Why do you have so much trouble doing this? I want to change you to think like me.
Yeah, right.
Because my way
is the right way.
So that it was a good moment for me to be like, oh, you will never think like me. Mm. Like we literally
and
are
you
different people.
Don't know everything.
No, yeah, that's right. That's
like,
right.
You don't like your way isn't the right way. It's just your
it's
way.
It's just mine. That's right. That's right. Mm. But that was a really game changing kind of sentence that came into my life after my breakup.
That I think like myself.
Yeah. And no one has to think like me and no one ever will. And you know, I gotta find a partner who it's easier to love the way they think. How can I love the way my partner thinks differently from me?
Oh my God. Thank God. Like
you know what
my
I mean?
Sheets would never get washed. Like I would never like, and don't get me wrong, like it comes up where I'm like, it's fine. Like we don't need to change.
But thank
pillow.
God.
But thank
he
God.
He wants to wash
yeah,
them.
Yeah, because then I get in the bed. I'm like, yes.
Of course, it's nice.
It's nice. Like it's nice.
I love clean sheets.
You know, I didn't know that, you know, but especially even with food, like I feel like, you know, and this is no tea, no shade to people that think this way. I grew up with an idea that food was sustenance. It was just like you had to have your meals.
Yeah.
And it was just for energy. It wasn't to be savored. It wasn't, you know, food was good, but it was like, it was just food. It was, there was nothing.
There was no respect for
it.
Yeah.
No respect for it. It's exactly the right way to say it. And I'm really thankful that I ended up in a partnership with somebody who like has a deep respect for food and a deep love for food that it's like, I had never eaten asparagus. Like I had never eaten olives. I had never really eaten broccoli. I had never really eaten garlic. Like there's so many seasonings that I had never even gone near. I was afraid of mayo.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't touch mustard. Like the list is very long.
The whole podcast is just you.
My all the foods I was, yourself. Yeah. But I mean, the fact that I am not, I mean, literally we talked about it this weekend, like I'm not afraid of mayo anymore.
Crazy.
I was.
It's just oil and eggs.
But thank you. But if mayo touched my plate, I would not eat the food on the plate.
Wow.
Like that's how crazy I was. Even, it's and I'm
so
telling
strange.
You, like even like 7 months ago, 8 months ago, like I got a wrap from Jimmy John's. I got a sandwich from Jimmy John's,
sure.
Which I miss Love. Jimmy John's, that had mayo on it. And I was like, well, I can't go in there and reorder. Like I have to force myself to like swallow and eat this thing. And I sat in the car with Sam and I was just like shoveling it because I was like, I have to, out of spite.
Gosh.
I was like, I have to eat this. I have to. And, but there, that was like the start of a turning point where it
see
was
see what
like,
I mean? When you like eat, just eat the fucking pasta. You know what I mean? Eat the pizza.
My God.
It's like worth every
love
bite.
Pasta so much.
I know. Isn't it delicious?
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more.
Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
There's a feeling behind eating pasta. I had like a great night and went by myself to the restaurant I used to work at, Vic's, down in Soho, and had like the beautiful fried onions and the cacio and the gelato by myself. And it was just like perfect night.
I'm so fucking glad that you are at that. I'm just God.
Me too. And again, it's like hard to be around people who don't love it as much as me now. You know what I mean? Like that's the kind of battle. That's like where I'm at now. I'm like, but like, don't you want to love everything you put? You know what
yeah.
I, mean?
I found that like I something that I always something that I always like liked or I always enjoyed doing was how do I explain this? Like doing things that other people loved in the sense if someone like loved rap music and really had like a deep love for it, I could enjoy it through them.
I see. Yeah, sure.
Where I was like, oh, this isn't for me.
You get off on somebody else's joy.
Yeah, but I'm like, oh, I see how this works for you. And when I and when someone can explain it, that's even better. When someone can like say, oh, this thing and this thing and this thing, like because and similar, I think this is very similar. I'm thinking about what was that restaurant we went to in DC? The
it was four Causa? Letters. Causa.
I think about that all the time.
We had the best time.
I think about that all the time because, and I use this example so much, but I think it's so good. Like the fact that he came over, the chef came over and explained every ingredient, where the ingredient came from, how it was used, why it was used, like the context.
What it was like going to taste like, the wines were like a mix of different things. It was so.
The context amplified
rich.
The whole thing. And it would have been delicious, period, if they hadn't told us anything. We'd have been like, oh, this is really good.
No, but it's an experience.
Right.
That's why I love eating with people.
Yeah.
It forms like a memory. And that is like a core memory.
That's a core memory for me, for
sure.
It was
so fun.
That is a core memory, like so hard. But I think the other piece about it is, I mean, obviously you can enjoy food on your own, but, and I know you do, you're a person that like you love cooking for yourself and making stuff for yourself that's delicious. But I also think you're right that like one of the pieces of the blue zone diet, you know, the Mediterranean thing that people have lived very long is community, is like being with
other people. Part. That's why I started Supper Club. I just love watching people gather deliberately.
Intentionally.
Have talked about this a lot because you have your things too. But it's like there's something magical that happens like in the uncomfortable awkwardness of doing it for a reason.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the uncomfortable awkwardness of doing it for a reason and acknowledging it.
That's what I mean. Like I don't hide the fact that there's a theme or that everyone is going to make a toast. Or that everyone, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like there's always, people are always like, I don't want to make a toast. And it's like,
but then something flips.
Yeah. And then you kind of want to go. And like the quietest person always has the best fucking thing to say.
Right.
And I mean, I'm with someone right now who Sky is so thoughtful in terms of everything he says. He doesn't really say anything that he hasn't thought through or means. And I'm the opposite. I just could talk all fucking day. I could talk about a process, like figure out what I'm feeling. I don't know what I'm feeling. Like,
but you can talk through it.
I talk through it. Yeah, yeah, and he, you know, both of his parents are journalists and really like write what they mean, I think. And he always has these amazing things to say, but it's hard to cut through noise when most people, I think, are like us, mm-hmm. who just can talk.
Yeah.
And Sky's like, well, I have a gem. I mean, he doesn't think this, but he'll have like a gem of a sentence.
Yeah.
But it's hard for him to like cut in because he's not just like going on and on and on. He has like a thought that is formed.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why Supper Club's cool, is because everyone at that table, no matter what, will be able to speak what they have thought about, whether they thought about it for 2 minutes or thought about it for 30 seconds or right. whatever. But it's like, it's cool that you see everybody get the chance, because at dinner parties, often there's someone who
doesn't talk.
Yeah. And leaves being like, I kind of had a thing to say, but didn't.
And you force.
I force that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Everyone has the opportunity. I'm also the type of person, I don't know if you're like this or Sky's like this, like I'm the type of person, and you know this about me, when I'm having fun, I say, like, I will call attention to the fact that I'm like, this.
You do that.
I'm like,
that.
This
That's
is fun.
So funny.
I'm having so much fun right now. Because, and again, it's the same thing that we're talking about. Huh. Like, I like the acknowledge, because I feel like when you acknowledge something like that, it's the same thing of like gathering with intention. When you just like say the thing.
Yeah.
Then there something changes in the energy of the
room.
I
love this moment. Yeah, that's
right.
So beautiful.
You know?
I have clocked that you've done that, but I didn't realize it was like such an intentional
thing.
And
I
said, love
we're
that.
Fun. I'd be like,
we're fun.
I'm like, remember, I'd be like, this
that
is,
was like our thing all through DC.
Yes.
We're fun.
I'm like, this is fun. This is fun. But I think there's like really, there's gotta be some science to that. That like there's something about it that
the acknowledgement brings you present.
And I also think it happens in the other direction too, where like if something's uncomfortable, I know there's power in being like, I'm feeling uncomfortable right now.
Oh, totally. Totally. And how many times, I mean, not to get, I don't know if you know where I'm going with this, but how many times are you like having sex and you could either say, here's what I'm feeling, or you just let it go.
Right.
And it's a total fucking lose-lose
yep.
when you don't say anything.
Yes, but
and
if
there's
you say
always
something.
A lesson and like always a beautiful like coming together.
Yes.
Of like, oh my God.
But that's in
let
sex.
Us talk.
That's in relationships.
Yes.
That's in friendships. That's in a rehearsal process. Like to me, it across the board, like saying the thing, which is a thing we talk about in men's group all the time, mm-hmm. saying the thing mm-hmm. is invaluable.
Yeah. I remember I texted Michael one night because he came up to me the day we were frozen and gave me like 7 notes. He was like, here are some big idea notes. And I was like, holy fucking shit. I just like was kind of disassociating when he was telling me because yeah. I was like, oh my God. And then I texted him that night and I was like, I think I need some validation. I'm feeling so like, is it working? Because you just gave me like huge ideas.
Right.
And then he did. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was like
right.
all I needed to just, I just needed to like air it.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that he needed to really give me validation. I just needed to be like, I'm feeling insecure.
Right. You just need to say that. But listen, that's also a lesson in like asking for what you need.
Yeah, totally.
And which is again, another big relationship thing is
I'm
like.
I'm pretty good at that.
You are?
Yeah.
I have gotten a lot better at being like.
I don't have secrets.
Yeah, you don't.
No. I don't like.
Yeah, you
hide
can't
shit.
Hide shit. No, you are like.
Honestly, I. Yeah,
that's
probably
not a bad
a
thing.
Fault.
No,
yeah,
no,
I don't
no,
know.
No. I mean, but listen, it's powerful because I feel like especially in my relationship, it's been the biggest lesson of being able to say like, I need to vent, and I don't want your advice. I just need you to. Most of the time, all I want is for someone to say, "I hear you." That's it.
Oh my God! And I'm like, Sky, give me a solution.
Which. But I'm like, but I always trust that I'm like, if you, and a lot of times I'll even ask him, I'll be like, are you wanting feedback?
Yeah,
are you wanting
right.
a solution? Or you just want me to listen?
So helpful.
And a lot of times it's like, I just need to just say it out loud.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. And then if you need a solution or you want feedback, you can ask for that.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to give that. But I also grew up in a world where like I was given feedback without asking for it.
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
I was. People had given me their opinions without me asking for it.
So interesting.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was so not my childhood.
That was my full childhood, where it was like, I'm going to give you my opinion whether you like it or not.
Mm.
Which is, I don't know, but it's it was not easy to swallow as a kid and as an adult too. It's not easy to swallow.
Like, yeah, I mean, hard. That's like the when I you know, came out to my mom, I was like, you know, I've been hooking up with Gap, you know, like all
right,
the things.
Yeah.
And she was like, the only thing she said, we were driving, and she said to me, if I was in your generation, I'd be queer too. That was it. And I was like, best response
Check.
Award
right.
ever. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so brilliant because it didn't like negate anything.
No.
It didn't make it awkward. Like, she thought about it in her shoe. You know, it was like brilliant. It was just, I loved
I think
that
everyone's
moment.
Queer.
Everyone.
And I feel like if you're not, you're suffocating some part of yourself. Like, you're not giving yourself the freedom.
I do think there are people who really have no desire. But
sure.
Yeah, like, of course, everyone.
But I guess what I'm talking about is like guys that are like, oh, no way.
Completely.
Dude. Like,
yeah,
I would
it's
never,
crazy.
Ever kiss a guy. Like, no way.
It's
dude.
Absolutely insane.
Which is the very extreme of the end of the spectrum. Yeah. But I'm like, you can't even acknowledge that guy's like a good looking guy. Like,
I assume all your listeners agree with us. Can you imagine if you had like a really straight white guy?
Sometimes my brother. Sometimes my brother listens, and he's a really straight white guy.
Really?
But I
You're
will say.
You're gay. Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
No, but you know what though? Like, but I think also that's been like so powerful and helpful for me to have him in my life, because I think that perspective is important. And
yeah.
My big fear as a kid. This is my podcast now.
What's your biggest
yeah, right.
fear?
My biggest fear as a kid when it came to relationships was like when I thought about having a boyfriend before I was out, but even after I came out, like in college, my biggest fear was that my brother and my dad would not be able to hang out
mm-hmm.
with my partner. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like that was my biggest fear when it came to relationships. And when the time came for Sam to like meet my family, I was not worried at all. But I realized much later that I was like, why was I worried? I should have worried about my mom. Like this person needs to get along. Forget about my dad. This person needs to get along with my mom. And as long as they get along, it's all good. But all that to say, like, you know, watching Sam and I spent 14 months living with my family in the pandemic, which is
crazy.
The greatest gift that we were ever given.
So
it was
cool.
Horrible, and hard, but it was beautiful and wonderful. It was every adjective because I got to watch and be a part of my brother and my dad like fall in love with my partner, who is also a man. Like, and love our love, like love that we love each other. Like, it just became a normal thing. And I'm lucky that my parents were never, my brother, when I came out to my brother, he was like, okay, is there anything else you want to tell me? I was like, no. He's like, okay. Like that was the whole thing. I thought it was gonna be this big to do, but to have now him and Sam have their own relationship. He's texting my dad, my brother on the side. He doesn't, you know what I mean? Like they call him before they call
every
me.
Day. Yeah.
Those, I don't know. I love the fact that I love being queer. I love
Me too.
Being queer so
Isn't
much.
Isn't that nice?
Oh my God. And I feel, I don't know if that's how you identify. That's how I identify.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Queer.
I just love, to me, it feels like so overarching. It feels like more than just my sexuality.
I know. I came out as bi, and then I think, I don't know why it kind of changed, but I just felt like that encapsulated everything.
Right.
Yeah, it's like more of an identity.
Than a sexuality.
Yeah.
Which totally. Again, that's like,
especially because I'm in a straight presenting relationship and it feels like if I was bi, it would be like, well, I'm on the straight side of bi. It's like it feels weird, whereas queer feels like it encapsulates who I am.
That's
even
exactly,
if I'm in
yes.
yeah, a relationship.
A heterosexual relationship.
Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am still just as queer with Sky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can talk about.
Which is cool.
The girls you think are hot.
Oh, do we ever.
It's okay. We do too. We talk about girls we think are hot. We talk about the guys we think are hot.
Girlies.
The girlies we think are hot. And we talk about Broadway. That's another thing. We geek out. Like, We geek out so hard.
We do too.
I you know what's so funny? I always thought I wanted to be with like a I don't know why. I just thought I had to be with like basically a straight guy.
Yeah, totally.
I was like, I want to be with a straight guy, which I think is probably like some internalized homophobia.
I love being with a little musical theater
nerd.
Oh
my God.
He knows Old Red Hills more than me. He knows the entirety of the Kimberly Akimbo soundtrack. Like, and the dances. I'm like, what are you doing?
But isn't it fun to like geek out? Like, I remember the first time we like geeked out about like Wicked together. And I was like, oh, this is, we can like sing Rent in our apartment. Like, we both can sing along. Like, it's fun.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing like it. Everybody's like, I'm never dating an actor. I'm like, I'm only dating actors. I love it. I've like never said that in my life.
Really?
No, I love it. And I broke up with my ex who was an actor and never said that.
Right.
Like, I never, ever.
It wasn't that piece of it.
No, I loved sharing music. I loved sharing our love for theater and going to see plays.
Right.
I loved that.
Yeah.
That was not at all.
I think the difference for me is, I think, I mean, this obviously wouldn't obviously be the case, but if I was dating an actor, there's a chance that we would be going in for the same things.
Yeah.
And like when I hear about that happening, when like couples are both going in for the same roles or they're going, I'm like, that is like a no for me.
This is a fascinating conversation. I've talked to Erica about this a lot too, but it's interesting. I don't know how people do it who are in direct competition either.
Yeah.
I'm sure that would be really hard. What's lovely though is Sky gets off on my success and my happiness for theater. Like he cannot fathom my year. Like he is so excited every moment. Like, and it's like real. Like it's, I can see it,
right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think everybody is like that.
Yeah, right.
I think that there is some.
Can you imagine like having to explain to somebody, you're like, so this is my opening night.
Like it's a big fucking deal. No.
Or like Frozen. You're like, we're Frozen, which
yeah,
means.
What is, yeah, no, boring. I don't want to fucking talk about that.
Right.
I just want somebody to know.
Get it.
But I will say it is interesting being, it's the idea of us as artists and self-taping and giving notes and judging each other's art, not like the fun or the happiness we feel from doing it. That is easy. But that it's interesting because in any other relationship, you actually don't give a shit about how good they are at their job.
Huh.
So like my mom, like I don't know if she's good at payroll at a preschool.
Right.
Like couldn't care less if she's good or bad
right,
at it. Like it just has nothing to do with my life.
Right.
And I think that the more I remember that.
You're not going to give her tips or advice or guidance or anything.
No, I just have no stake in it.
Right.
And for some reason, actors who date actors, we do have stake in the art that the other one is putting out, which is something I have not yet figured out how to articulate and have to kind of work through.
Yeah.
Because, like luckily, I'm in Parade. So Sky is like, I love the art you're putting out.
Right.
Like, this is beautiful.
Right.
But it is tricky
yes.
if I'm doing, like, some shit.
What if you're bad?
That's the thing. It's like, it doesn't matter if I was bad. It wouldn't matter in a different relationship. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Yes.
To
yes.
some level, like, again, my mom is not singing at her job, but it's like,
right.
I don't care about that.
Right.
Whereas, why do I care how good my partner's self-tape is? Why can't they just do the self-tape and I don't have to care about it? But
well,
I feel stake in their talent.
And also, I want to know if this is connected. You've seen Sky work before. You've
yes,
seen him perform.
Yes.
Was there any?
All my ex. I mean, I'm not just talking about
but
Sky.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, was there fear in you the first time that you went to go see him
on
stage?
Oh my God,
because
of course.
You were like, oh my God, what if he's.
Of course. In high school, my first like, you know, crush in high school, we played Jean Valjean. I was Fantine. Like, this is classic. Like, and I was like, you are good tonight. Or like, he would be pitchy and I'd be like, oh, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I mean, he was never pitchy. He's not listening to this, but whatever.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Understand.
Like,
yes.
This is a dumb example,
yes.
But like I do feel
so there's
that.
Respect. I'm saying like you respect his art. And so
yes.
There's like, oh, I care about what you think of what I'm doing and I care about what you're doing.
That's right. And I don't know if that's codependent.
Hmm.
I don't know if that's, I don't know. I'm just, that's definitely a thing I'm exploring in my own kind of psyche of like, how much stake do I want to have in his performances and his talent and his stories he wants to tell, et cetera.
And how much do you value what he give, like the feedback he gives you? That's what I'm navigating.
Totally.
A lot, is like when I'm doing self-tapes that's or whatever, it's like when Sam gives me a note or a thought, I have to decide within myself, like, do I agree?
Totally.
Or do I want to take the note? Or am I like, actually, no, I like what I'm doing more than
that.
I think
it's just going to be this ever-changing
thing. Always.
But it
and his perspective is, he's an agent. So his perspective is incredibly unique. Like, I have to always keep that in my mind, that like, that's his perspective. And I have said to him, I literally cannot tell you how many times I've been like, I need you to tell me if I'm insane and that like, I shouldn't be doing this and I'm terrible and I'm not talented. And if I need to just like pick a new career path, like I need you to just tell me. And he's like, I don't understand. Like you've booked, like it's not a, like you have all the evidence you could possibly need that like you're good enough to work. Like, why do you need my validation? I'm like, I just respect you enough that I would hope that you would tell me if I fucking sucked. And it was like,
would you want that?
I don't know. Because I guess the reason I say that is because I see people.
Yeah. Yeah. You see other people fucking struggle busing and being like, you should just get off the bus.
That is exactly that's right. And I don't know.
You don't want to be the one on the struggle bus.
No.
Not knowing that everybody else is thinking about you like that.
Yes.
They're not.
And I'm thrilled that they're not. Mm-hmm. But that, I think, is my fear. There's a fear there that it's like, oh, I'm delusional and no one's telling. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm certainly delusional. But.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. I think also, delusional. I think you have to be like a little bit delusional to do this.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Right?
Of course. We're like banking on a break in our voice.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
To bring it back.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like,
it's crazy.
I'm going to lean into my break.
It's totally crazy.
It is, you know?
Yeah. The other crazy thing is like our lives could change tomorrow and you would have all the validation you would need. It just makes no sense. It's like there's so much luck. Like I've gotten so lucky. Like I think about that. I'm just like, God, I was like born the right month. Like it's just crazy.
No, quite literally.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Like, yes. I mean, and you just don't know because there was someone that was at our dinner party that I was at, which was
Supper Club,
uh-huh. Which was also a core memory for me. I should say that was before like, you know, 11:30 when the bottles of wine, like we
totally
crossed a certain threshold. There was somebody there that night who I'm almost certain is not going to listen to this, who thought they were going to have the biggest year of their lives.
Yeah.
Movie, Broadway show. It was like all of the, on paper, it was like everything was lining up and it was like, oh, this is my moment. And it wasn't.
Yeah.
And
it's hard.
And so it just reminds me of what you're saying that like, you just don't know. You just don't know.
And you can see people at these pinnacles and we are all just actually on the same road.
Trying to figure it the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at any moment, you know, I was trying to explain to my mom this at one point that I was like, sure, I could have this show come in and I can book a lead role and I can get nominated for a Tony, et cetera, et cetera. And then, or nothing. Or you can be in room.
Oh my God.
And get canceled close in rehearsal.
You're a Tony Award winner.
Like
it's crazy.
There's just no guarantees.
Yeah.
You know? So that's why I'm such a big fan of being like, I'm enjoying this.
Yes.
Because
if I can
just get present and be like, oh, I'm grateful for whatever this is right now.
That's kind of where I am too.
Is
like
that,
there's a lot of noise. And
I know that was something you said like a couple weeks ago.
Nice. Like it's overwhelming, you know? I all at once kind of want to disassociate from the noise and also hear it and take it in. So I'm kind of trying to find that balance. But at the end of it, it's like the only way I can just find myself is like to just be present and like act, like do what I love. Like yeah. every night I get to like go to a little theater and like sit in my dressing room and love it. You know yeah. what I mean? It's like, yeah. cause it's not guaranteed that we will have a show tomorrow. You know what I mean? It's just not.
Right.
I'm not that, you know, I don't say that every day, but it is something I think about. Like I just need to live as big as I can
right now
in this moment, because who knows?
Because you were overwhelmed. It was a lot coming into this.
I was.
I honestly, because you said City Center was like a flash in the pan. It was really fun. It was like, we're doing this for 2 weeks. Like,
yeah. And everyone loved it.
Right.
And I think I just felt the pressure. I you know, was in a little bit of a delusional state of like, can I still sing it? Like, is it still good? Like, now that the hype is there, are people still going to like it? I mean, there's so many like things yeah, right. that happen when you right. like do something again that yeah. was loved. And they did. They loved it. I don't know. I just like want to keep doing what I love. Like, just trying to both find the, like find the friends who kind of keep me grounded and who can celebrate me without it feeling like noise.
Mm-hmm.
And also just like find myself within that too.
Yeah. I think that's the most important.
Yeah.
It's like having a, I've been talking to a lot of people about this, about having a life that you like.
Yeah. Beyond.
Outside of the job that like, mm-hmm. let's say, cause I mean, not correct me if I'm wrong though. Like even before you were doing this, like you were enjoying your life.
I love my life.
You know, like
I love cooking, not doing acting and, for yeah. a while. Yeah. 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 Like, and going to school and starting Supper Club and cooking at Harvest Moon. Yeah. I feel like I've lived a lot of lives. I travel a lot.
Yeah. It's like, to me, I think that's like having that foundation is like the
most
necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. And it makes me a better actor.
Of course. And your worth, your self-worth, and your identity isn't tied up in this ephemeral thing.
Right.
That's beautiful and we love with all of our hearts, but it's not.
Yeah, that feels like pinnacles and valley. You know, it's just all confusing.
But having the friends and luckily we have partners
mm-hmm.
and family. I know, your mom.
Yeah, special.
That is wild.
I know. We were talking about this before we started recording. It's like,
you're like,
Matt was like, so are you getting your own place? And I was like, no, I love living with my mom.
She does my laundry. Like she goes, she gets the gross. Like
she does some dishes.
But like, that's so like, oh,
ideal.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? And I know, you know that. I'm not, I know like you're not, that doesn't.
No, no.
You don't take it for granted.
No. Not at all. I know so many people don't have that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're great. In the show, sure, whatever. But I like you.
We're fun.
We're fun. Like I feel in the spirit of that, I feel very lucky to be your friend, because I feel like no matter what happens in my life, you support me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I feel like see through around you in the best way.
That's such a good, have you ever said that before? That's such a good way of putting it. I feel see through.
Yeah.
Right.
But like, in the good way.
Yeah. The best way. Like you see all of it.
Yeah.
And I feel very, very blessed. And I think yesterday was my birthday. And I feel like that was my biggest takeaway from last year, was I'm like, man, I fucking love my fucking friends. Like, I feel so lucky about my community and my circles, because I know people don't have that.
I know.
And I just feel so fucking blessed that I have friends like you, who keep me grounded, love on me, and it doesn't matter what the work is that I'm doing. It's like so secondary.
It's completely irrelevant.
Right.
Actually.
I mean, yeah. It's fun. Like, it's fun to be like, ooh, you're so good. Like, it's fun.
Yeah, totally.
But it's not It's not, that's not what the friendship is like built on.
Yeah.
And that is like, oh, yeah, so nice. Cause I didn't have that for a long time. And I feel like now I like really, really do. So
happy 31st.
Thanks. Happy run. Have a good run.
As if we're at 16 years old. Have a good run in your high school show. Have a good run.
Yeah, the one weekend that you're doing this show.
How many shows do you have? Four.
Four. Oh my God.
How many shows do you have? 230.
What are you at now?
I don't know. 50?
You're not counting? You're counting.
No, I really have no idea. I don't count.
You're not marking your dressing
room. No, should I?
No. Someone else is counting. You don't have to. Isn't there on the call sheet that they're like, it's performance number, blankety, blank, blank, blank.
Probably.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not checking.
I don't read that shit. I'm not checking.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.